Becoming an intuitive eater isn't always an easy journey. So the research shows there's lots of studies on intuitive eating, since it's been around since the 1990s, showing intuitive eaters have more body satisfaction, they have more self-confidence, they're happier, they tend to be more positive. But what I want to talk about today is why the beginning of your intuitive eating journey might feel a bit sticky. And why I think that that sticky bit is actually what gives us all those amazing outcomes. Okay, so it's more the influence of intuitive eating on your life versus just on that eating piece that we associate it with. So stay tuned because I'm going to walk you guys through why the beginning of the journey might be hard and why it's totally worth it to get through that sticky, kind of gritty bit to come out the other side. So tune in. And I can't wait to walk you through this episode. You're listening to Healthy Mompreneurs Get Wealthy podcast with Kathy Richards, RD. As a registered dietitian with over 20 years of experience, I've helped thousands of people get healthier and ultimately wealthier. And now it's your turn, busy mompreneur. In this podcast, I'll be sharing with you my self-love journey back to health after years of stress and challenges, including living with a spouse with mental illness, suffering a concussion, and living with post-concussion syndrome, illnesses in my family, a death in my family, divorce, and more illnesses in my family, and all this with three kids under the age of 9. If anyone can show you how to thrive and not just survive through challenges and setbacks, it's me. All right, guys, so I am super excited to bring you episode 31 of my podcast, which is part of the Intuitive Eating series, and I want to talk about the sticky beginning of becoming an intuitive eater and the magic that happens and why it's worth going through the beginning process. So before I get started, I thought I'd give you guys an update on what's been going on around here. We are in November, so gearing up for holidays. My kids have been sick the last week or so. I think I've had 2 days where I haven't had kids at home and working with a full client load as well. So that's put some of my podcast episodes behind a bit, but that's okay. And that's just how it goes, right? So it's a rainy / snowy, like freezing rain kind of day here. So I've been playing with my new kitchen appliance, which is an air fryer. I bought a family size one so I can cook 2 trays of things at the same time. So it's perfect. I just roasted some broccoli and I made some crispy tofu as well. So I'm excited to continue to build my recipe repertoire off of that. And that's one of the benefits of working from home is being able to sneak in some cooking in between client calls or in between social media content, right? So today on the episode, I want to get into it. You know, I like to keep my episodes short and sweet. I want to talk about that sticky beginning when you want to become an intuitive eater, but it feels really hard. So I'll tell you a story, and this is a little bit of why I thought I would bring this idea to you today, because I want you to show that things don't always happen right away, and sometimes it takes like realizing things that we might not like to help us make changes. So I'll tell you, I'll give you the story behind this episode. So I was noticing today that it was probably 2 years ago, almost to the day, or 3 years ago, I think it was in November of 2018, I had the privilege of going to a Tony Robbins event in the city where I live. And I remember at that event, if you've ever been to one, you know, it's such high energy and they really use body movement as a way to get that emotional response in the body, right? So it's really like a celebratory kind of event. It can really bring up a lot of emotions. And when I went to that, I was in a space of barely like getting through the day. My spouse at the time was off on mental health leave. I think we even had a nanny helping us at that point. a couple of kids at home still, one in kindergarten, daycare pickups. Maybe we had daycare at that point. I can't remember what we were using. But anyways, all that to say, it was a lot of stress. So it was a lot of, I was still waking up with a baby every night because my son was 2 at the time and he breastfed till he was 3. So it was like lack of sleep, stress before I would even get to work, trying to juggle all the things and kind of having like one extra child with my spouse at the time because they really weren't able to function in a big way supporting the family or taking the kids out. So all of that kind of fell to me. So I was really struggling. So I went to this Tony Robbins event and I happened to have a friend that went. I can't remember if she got a free ticket or how she ended up going. Anyways, I sat with two of my good friends. And during the event, I remember at some point during some of the like dancing and jumping and stuff, suddenly I had this huge like emotional upheaval. The tears came to the surface. I really felt emotional. And it was me realizing at that time that I was creating my own reality. And for a lot of us, that can be really harsh. And I think during COVID, during lockdowns and things, that maybe came up for a lot of people that they didn't like how they were living. They didn't like how they were rushing to get to work, rushing to get their kids places, and really like filling their days. And at that moment, I had to realize that, yeah, I was in a part, I was creating my reality, right? I was doing all the things. I wasn't delegating with my spouse. I was kind of trying to keep everything calm to help them, but really I needed to take back some of that power and do things that were really going to help my mental health and my physical health and just help me have a better relationship with myself and with my life. And I remember thinking, like, when they were talking about it, you create your reality. I was like, what the heck? Like, I would not choose to feel like this. If I had any say in my life, I would not choose to feel like this. And I remember, I think that was the year one of my friends had left her marriage and she had two young kids, same age as two of my kids. And I remember thinking, like, oh, as I was pushing my 2-year-old in the stroller, like, wow, like that's amazing. I can't even fathom that. I'm not happy. I don't want to be here. But that just, it seemed like such a big hurdle to get to the other side. Then fast forward a year later, after I came to that realization, and a number of other life events had happened that really made me kind of go, yeah, no, it's time. I've got to step up for myself. And it's kind of the same thing with intuitive eating. Like that realization, it did not feel good. It took me, another 12 months before I really moved on the decision. But it's kind of the same thing with intuitive eating or even the emotional eating groups that I run. The first part of the process, and why I think in the end we end up being so more confident and feeling so much happier, is because we go through that sticky bit at the beginning. So when you start the journey to become an intuitive eater and, deal with emotional eating as well, a big part of that beginning is self-awareness. And in reality, a lot of us don't want to have self-awareness because it sucks. It sucks because then maybe we have to realize, like, I'm kind of living in autopilot. I'm not listening to my body. Ooh, I don't feel good when I eat that. Or, gee, I haven't fed myself all day. And that gives us feedback that, gee, we're really not doing a great job. So it can feel really bad inside to think, like, okay, well, look at how I'm treating my body. And I wonder it's not working with me. But what I want you to do is take away that self-blame that we all have, and take away that thought process that, like I had was like, how the heck would I pick this as my reality? Stop making yourself wrong and just start to applaud yourself for having the awareness, right? So often I use the example when I run the emotional eating program, like how many times have you delayed going to the washroom because you were too busy or wanted to finish one more task? I think a lot of us are guilty of that, right? The same thing happens with food, or like we delay eating because we want to finish something, or we don't feel like we have enough time to make a food choice that we would like, Or maybe we're making food choices based on all the other members in our house. And it takes focus and it takes attention, and it can feel pretty bad to start to have more of that self-awareness. Like, I'm not feeding myself on a regular basis. I'm not hydrating myself. Gee, my sleep isn't good. So all of the process to becoming more of an intuitive eater and dealing with that emotional eating piece is self-awareness. So self-awareness can feel bad. It can feel not great if we're running some of that negative dialogue in our head. So go back, in one of my earlier episodes, I talked about reframing some of that negative self-talk into more positive self-talk, right? So in episode 13, I went through a couple of examples on how to turn negative thoughts into positive ones. Because as we're trying to make a behavior change, especially if we're like in our own little bubble doing it by ourselves, if we don't feel like we have that support in our house, it's going to make it hard. But I'm here to support you guys. Drop into my DMs, send me a message through Instagram or Facebook or email through my website, kathyrichardsrd.com. I'm here to support you. I'm here to answer your questions. Comment on my post if you want some feedback on things, because I know it can feel hard. And it felt so hard for me to get my life back on track, right? But in the end, I'm such a happier person. And I'm still in the process. I'm still doing so much therapy and thought shifting and past life stuff. It's absolutely amazing, but it's not easy. I was talking to an intuitive coach yesterday who I had DNA activation with. So we were following up on like the first part of that process. And she talked about shadow work. And as I integrate my next half of my strengths from 24 to 48, the shadow work will come up more. And I said to her, like, oh, does the shadow work ever go away? And she reflected back to me. It's kind of like, new level, new devil, right? Like, it doesn't go away. And that doesn't mean that emotional eating goes away as soon as we become an intuitive eater or all our food choices feel easy. But it's us in that seat of feeling in control. And how amazing would that be, right? To feel in control. And that's what I want you guys to know, that you can get there, you can have control of your eating, feel empowerment around your health, and that's my goal, is to help you with that process. So a couple of things coming up. Black Friday is coming up next week. I'll be running my emotional eating group one last time in person. So if you want to hop into that, it will be like a VIP experience, so you get extra one-on-one support for the regular price. So you can head on over to the Craving Change website. It should be updated in the next couple days. You can take advantage of that. Remember, I keep my group small. I keep them at 10 maximum because I want to give that support. So I already have four people waiting for that to launch. So if you're interested and you want that support, hop in. It gives you 3 weeks of group support before the holidays. Through the holidays, you'll still have group support and access to me, so you're not going to be out there on your own. And then we'll finish up on January 8th. So you get a little bit longer of a stretch of support just because of how the holidays fall. So if that appeals to you, if you feel like you need some extra support, Voxer support comes with that VIP option. And I'll be, offering that through that kind of period where you're on your own. So if that speaks to you, reach out and let me know. And keep your eyes open, because at the end of January, I'll be launching my intuitive eating and emotional eating membership, where I'm marrying those two things together. So as well as helping you become an intuitive eater, I'm going to help you with that emotional eating that comes up. And emotional eating is not wrong. I was working with a client yesterday who's gone back to a lot of emotional eating because of life circumstances. And my biggest, reminder to her was, you are not wrong. Like, give yourself grace. You've got all this stress. If you've got stress, if you've got pain, if you've got grief, like, there's so many things that influence our emotions. And emotional eating is something we learn in childhood. So it's not going to go away right away. And it's not necessarily wrong, but there's ways that we can make it feel more comfortable for you or not as problematic. And sometimes we're going to have that period where emotional eating comes, but don't make yourself wrong. So that's it for my episode today. I really think having more self-awareness is the key to having that happier life, but it doesn't feel like that at the beginning, you know? And that shadow work that I was talking about with my coach yesterday, it doesn't feel good. But I know once I work through some of those things that keep coming back up, then I'm going to get to that brighter future ahead. And I know you guys have a brighter future ahead with intuitive eating as that foundation as well. So I can't wait to help you guys out with that. So stay tuned. The Craving Change page will be updated shortly. And I hope you guys have a fantastic week. Thanks for listening. If you know someone that may benefit from this, feel free to share it. Have a great day, guys.